ever wanted to really get a handle on the big forces driving something like, you know, real estate, but without getting totally swamped by numbers. Well, that's what we do here on the Deep Dive. We dig into your sources, pull out the absolute key stuff, basically giving you a shortcut to understanding it all. And today, we're diving into the last six U.S. real estate cycles. We're talking late 70s all the way to now. Yeah, the aim is really to cut through that noise and find what really matters for you.
It's pretty interesting stuff because these cycles, they keep happening, right? But how they happen, what kicks them off, that changes. What the analysis shows is this real mix. You've got monetary policy, financial innovation, government rules, these big picture secular trends, and they all interact, shifting the main risk sometimes to commercial, sometimes residential. And, you know, historically, when real estate goes down, it tends to hit the economy harder than, say, a stock market crash,
right?
Like twice as hard in terms of lost output.
Not twice as hard. Yeah, why is that?
It's because of this sort of feedback loop. Things start going bad, which makes credit tighter, which makes things worse. A procyclical loop, they call it, amplifies the whole thing.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. You mentioned distinct phases markets go through. Recovery, expansion, what else?
Right, recovery, then expansion, then often hypersupply that's overbuilding. And finally, recession or correction.
And the main driver pulling the strings through all that?
Well, monetary policy and interest rates are arguably the most powerful. It's pretty clear.
How so?
Simple, really. Lower rates, people borrow more, demand goes up, values climb, rates go up, the brakes go on, triggering downturns, and credit availability is like pouring fuel on the fire. Loose credit makes the boom bigger.
And a credit crunch makes the bust deeper. Got it.
Exactly.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting for me, how the focus of the trouble shifts. Let's start back late 70s to early 90s. The SNL bust, that was commercial real estate, right?
Yeah, very much a CRE bust. Driven by, well, a couple of big things. Tax policy changes, like ERTA in 81.
Right, the Economic Recovery Tax Act.
Yeah, that made depreciation super fast, a huge tax shelter. And then SNL deregulation. They could suddenly lend way more freely on commercial projects.
So tax breaks plus easy money equals
a massive building boom. I mean, estimates are something like half of all U.S. commercial real estate got built in the 80s alone. Just huge oversupply.
That's incredible. And the fallout actually created some things we still see today.
It did. The modern REIT structure in real estate investment trusts. A lot of that came out of needing ways to handle distressed properties. Same for the CMBS market, commercial mortgage-backed securities. Bundling up those loans.
Okay, fast forward. Great financial crisis, GFC. Roughly 2002 to 2012, the script flipped completely, right? Residential this time.
Totally flipped. This was all about housing. You had super low rates after the dot-com bust, really lax lending standards.
Subprime lending.
Subprime everywhere, yeah. And then packaging those risky mortgages into complex securities that, frankly, few understood.
Yeah.
It all blew up.
And the impact was devastating. National home prices fell, what, over 20%? Millions lost their homes.
A huge shock to the system. Definitely residential led.
Then came a long, slow recovery, maybe 2012 to 2019. And then COVID hit like a ton of bricks. How did things like e-commerce and remote work start playing bigger roles then?
Yes. Secular trends really came to the forefront. E-commerce drove massive demand for industrial and logistics space. Data centers too.
Warehouses and server farms, basically.
Pretty much. But then COVID. Wow, it was like a decade of change crammed into like a year or two.
How so?
Well, brick and mortar retail just got hammered. And office space. I mean, remote work became the norm almost overnight. Huge structural shift.
Leaving us where we are now, the Great Normalization, starting around 2022, what defines this current phase?
It's really a correction. We had that huge surge in inflation post-COVID stimulus, so the Fed slammed on the brakes. Rates shot up over 5.25%.
Now mortgage rates doubled, more than doubled.
Exactly. Leading to that lock-in effect.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody with a cheap mortgage wants to move. So the housing market just froze.
But some sectors are doing okay.
Yeah. Office CRE is still in deep trouble, maybe even existential trouble in some cases.
Hmm.
But home builders, surprisingly, and rental housing have held up relatively well.
Looking back at all this, it feels like there's a pattern. We fix one crisis, but the solution kind of sows the seeds for the next one. Low rates after dot-com, bust feed housing bubble. Pandemic stimulus feeds inflation.
That pattern of unintended consequences is definitely there.
Yeah.
It's something to watch. Monetary policy is a blunt tool, and its effects ripple out in complex ways. Not necessarily doomed to repeat, but we have to be aware of it.
So thinking about all this history, what are the big takeaways for, you know, someone trying to navigate real estate today?
Two main things, I think. First, asset allocation. Publicly traded REITs often sniff out changes way before private market values do, maybe 6 to 12 months ahead. That can offer tactical clues.
So watch the public markets for hints about the private side.
Could be useful, yes. Second, sector selection is crucial. Just saying I'm investing in real estate isn't enough.
Because performance varies so much.
Massively. Think about industrial and data centers thriving versus office and some retail struggling. You have to pick your spots based on those bigger demographic and tech trends.
Makes sense. A broad brush doesn't work anymore.
Not really, no. Be specific.
Okay, so as we wrap up, here's something to chew on. That ongoing pain in the office sector, it's driven by the cycle, sure, but also these huge secular shifts like remote work. It's a massive risk.
Oh, potentially.
But maybe, just maybe, a generational buying opportunity for investors with deep pockets and a plan to really reposition those buildings.
Right. The trick, like after the SNL crisis, is figuring out what's just temporarily distressed versus what's truly obsolete. That's the multi-billion-dollar question.